Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital, where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Giroux in their passion to help you live your best life. We hope you enjoy today's encouraging and uplifting message.
Welcome to church. Let's get ready to worship Jesus together.
I'm not afraid to die.
Come on.
So sorry for you. hung my heart, now and forever my soul cries out. Here I stand, I am surrendered, I need you now. Hold my heart, now and forever my soul cries out. Here I stand, I am surrendered.
Such an incredible reminder. God loves us with his whole heart. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through, where you come from. My favorite line is, once I was broken, but you loved my whole heart through. See, it doesn't matter how many times you've missed the mark. God is for you and he's calling each of us near to himself. So thank you for worshiping with us today. Continue to share those special moments with us on social media. We'd love to see you worship with us.
That's right. And you know, in the same vein, I love the idea that even as God is making us whole, even as he's bringing us away from those missed marks, he is asking us to co-labor with him in this generation, in this moment. The psalmist wrote, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. I don't know about you, but I don't want to labor in vain. I want to know that what I'm doing in this generation, this moment in history, is going to matter beyond myself. And so, church, I just invite you to join us in this moment of giving. It's a holy moment. It's a moment where we get to take on the identity of our Father and give with our whole hearts.
So there are simple ways to give today. You can see that right on the screen. Thank you for co-laboring and building with us as a church. You've been such a generous church throughout the season, and we want to thank you for that. And also throughout the summer months, we know that things can kind of get a little crazy. Don't forget you can automate your giving as well.
That's right. All right. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to take on your identity of generosity, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be co-laborers with you. We know that the labor, God, the way that we are building, Lord, will not be in vain because you are with us and you, our God, are for us. We thank you and we ask that you would just bless this moment of worship that we have together, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Your mobile phone is with you everywhere you go. And now we are too. We are excited to let you know that we have released our new church app. Our mobile app is loaded with the greatest resources to help you better connect with the church and ultimately with God. You can look up scriptures or listen to the Bible. We have a secure note-taking journal. You can look at all of our social media, and you can even give inside of the app. There are so many features that will help you stay up to date with everything we are doing here at the church. The beautiful part is that it's all in one simple place. Download it today in the iTunes or Android store and see how easy it is to stay connected.
Heart for the House is our once-a-year offering over and above our normal giving, where everyone in our church can play a significant role. Giving to Heart for the House is a sacred moment where we empower our church to do the extra things God has put on our heart. Throughout the year, we showcase each of our initiatives. This week's spotlight is on Little Lights, an urban ministry empowering underserved and overlooked youth and families in Washington, D.C. So far this year, Citizen Heights has helped to support Little Lights by obtaining iPads and reliable Wi-Fi internet service for distance learning, providing for their many feeding programs, and providing family center supplies, including diapers, cleaning supplies, and toiletries. Little Lights also provides tutoring programs, mentorship programs, and summer activity programs for children and families. This includes life coaching and career development for adults. Citizen Heights, partner with us by giving to Heart for the House, and together we can make a big difference to help those most vulnerable. To find out more about all of our Heart for the House initiatives for 2020, check out the Heights Foundation page at citizenheights.com.
We've been in a series this summer entitled Rally in the Valley. I hope you've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying it. I believe God's been speaking to all of us through it. And it's the story of David and Goliath from 1 Samuel 17. And so I want to take a look at 1 Samuel 17 together because the battle takes place in a valley. And it's the Israelites versus the Philistines, 40 days and 40 nights in the Valley of Elah. And this valley becomes the stage for one of the most lopsided, unlikely military victories in history, to the fact that to this day we still refer to David and Goliath moments to mean that there was an impossible, unstoppable, improbable scenario. And as we know, it happened in a valley, and a valley is a low point. But if we stop there, we miss something rather obvious. A valley is an elongated depression, a low-lying area. Come on, anybody relate lately? But it's surrounded by an elevated and pronounced edges, elevated pronounced edges. So a valley is really just a low point surrounded by unlimited launch points. And the path of promotion, I believe, begins in the valley. So if you're in the valley, you're in a good place. Every valley shall be exalted, Isaiah 40 says. And every mountain and hill brought low, and every crooked place made straight, and the rough places made smooth. Every valley, come on, God has a plan for your valley. Every valley exalted. God is with you in your valley. In the last few weeks, we've been discussing five faith keys that turn your low points into your launch points. And if you've missed any of them, I want to encourage you, use the app, use the website, and use Church On Demand. It's an incredible tool and resource. But let's go ahead and turn our attention to our text. It's 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. And I want to consider today, all of us together, the zenith of the text, the pinnacle of our account that we've been working on over these past few weeks. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in his bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. Then David said to the Philistines," he said, "you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." This is the day, verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'll take your head from you. And we'll skip down. It says, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Let's look at verse 48. "So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines." Verse 49, "and David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone." Isn't that amazing? A sling and a stone. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40 and verse 45 to 50 tells us that in the valley, there is a victory to be had. And I want to pray today, and I want us to join hearts today to believe God together that in the midst of your valley, there's going to be a great victory. Father, we thank you today that as we get ready just to hear your word and receive what you have for us, that God, you would set us into a place of expectation and of great faith. God, we thank you that you are the God who speaks in the midst of the valley. Lord, our ears are ready to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to ask you today, have you ever gone out to eat or gone to an event or an activity that requires money, requires a bill at the end? Of course you have, and I have, and it's you and your friends and your family, and it's time for the bill to be paid, and you go to reach for your wallet, and then you realize, I don't have my wallet with me. You know that feeling, that panic that comes over you. And I'm not talking about that friend who does this all the time. You know the guy, the friend who has an innate ability to forget his wallet and conveniently forgets and always has his way paid. I'm talking about that moment where you know you don't have what it takes to cover what you've done and what you've bought. And recently, our family was on vacation together, and because, you know, we thought, you know, we've been together, the six of us in our house for the past 5 months together without a pause or a break. So for vacation, let's go pay to go to someone else's house and be together. And honestly, we've been having so much fun. And for me, 2020 has meant some treasured family time, unexpected treasured family time, amazing time, wonderful time. And I'm so grateful because in just 2 years, my three oldest sons will all be gone to college and I'll only have one left. And fortunately, our youngest has agreed to never leave me or forsake me. We're still working out the details of that deal that will keep him in my life forever. But there we are. We're on vacation. We had just ate this great meal. We're at a restaurant on the water, and there's the six of us. Then there's my two nephews, and then there's one of my friends, one of my son's friends from college. So there's a total of nine of us. The bill gets to the table. It's nearly $300, and I reach for my wallet, and I'm in trouble. No wallet. Left it at home. And in that moment, I heard words I've longed to hear, never thought I'd hear, come from one of my boys, and I heard this: "Dad, don't worry, I got you covered. I got you covered, Dad." And he took out his wallet and he took out his debit card and he paid. "Dad, I got you covered." Now, I've dreamt of this day that I've got you. And it was quite a feeling. It's a good feeling, isn't it? In that moment, such a reversal of fortunes when you fall short and you don't have enough and you don't have the means, but someone's got you covered. Today, I want you to know, Jesus has got you covered. And unlike my sons, he doesn't ask for a reimbursement after the fact. It's grace. It's undeserved. It's unearned. It's unbelievably, Jesus covers me. Jesus covers me and has a victory planned for me, even in the valley. So today I want to look at the fifth and final key that we find in the valley. And I want you to write this down. If you're watching on the app, you can go ahead and look at the notes so you'll be able to take these down. And again, if you missed the first four, you're going to want to go back and get a hold of those. But today our key is this: in the valley, I find the victory God is preparing for me. Okay? That's the first part. You can just write that down. In the valley, I find the victory God is preparing for me. But this is what I find, that the victory that God is preparing for me goes farther and it goes deeper than the battle in front of me. The victory that God is preparing for me, it goes farther and it goes deeper than the battle in front of me. And that's what we'll call the victory of faith. Okay, we're going to talk about this key today, the victory of faith. And I want to give you a repeatable right now that goes along with this idea. And it's simply this: settle it now that you won't simply settle for now. Settle it now that you won't simply settle for now. And in our last installment, we took time to look at the details of David's weapon of choice. Remember, his weapon of choice was a sling, five stones. As you recall, David finds his weapons in the valley brook, and he selects not one stone, but five stones. I've got my five stones here with me again today. Why five? Personally, I don't believe God is arbitrary. I don't believe he's random, and these accounts hold depth in every detail. So why five? Well, my mental process when I read about these five stones is when I read the Bible, it might be similar to what you do. First, I humanize it because I think we distance ourselves from the Bible. This is David, a human. And more specifically, I personalize it. So I look at this and I say, if I was facing a giant who has armor and a helmet and a shield and 300,000 vocal and enthusiastic supporters behind him, and all I have is my doubting brothers, come on, that's what David had. He had a cowardly king and his shepherd's robe and his sling. That's it. That's what David had. So if I was David, sure, maybe I'd get a few extra smooth stones. That can't hurt. Matter of fact, I'll take a few extra, maybe a handful. If I could get a dump truck full, I'd get a dump truck full, you know, just in case. Because I think we brace ourselves sometimes. Have you ever done that? Ever do a just in case for God? I'll do what you told me, God, but just in case, I got this going on over here. I'll go where you told me, God, and I'll give what you told me to give, God, but maybe I got this little plan B preparation, you know, just on the side. I'll serve you how you sent me, God, and I'll believe as best as I know how for the miracle provision for this thing. But I'm making alternative plans just in case. And David takes five stones. And upon first reading, if you'd ask me why five, I'd say it's a giant. How could one stone be enough? I'm going to take more just in case. In case the first few miss, right? In case I heard God wrong. In case God is late. In case the God who got me into this leaves me to fend for myself. See, my position is not one of faith. And we love our backup plans, don't we? We like to help God out should he be unable to close out on the promises he's made. But that interpretation of just in case, that's why he got five stones, that's really not consistent with the details of the account we just read. The five stones are not just in case provision. It's not just a backup plan. David has left, consider it, David has left armor behind, a helmet behind, a shield behind, a sword behind. David has no defense to absorb a single offensive move by this giant. So he's not preparing for, he's not planning for multiple shots or multiple engagements with this giant. He's planning on one shot, one stone. Because David knew what David was about to do had nothing to do with what David could do for himself. But it had everything to do with what God was about to do on David's behalf. See, that means in the valley, there's grace. It's a gift received, not a paycheck for services rendered. It's a free gift. And your victory in this valley is grace-based at its source. So it makes sense that it's going to be grace-sized in its impact. And as we read, David used that one stone, harnessed it in his sling, and found the forehead of his foe. Just one stone, the giant defeated, leaving four stones, I guess, leftovers, right? Stones of remembrance, something to sell in the King David bookstore. These four stones are left over in his pouch. And so many times we get a win, we get a victory, we get that God came through for me moment, and we're so excited to celebrate and commemorate it that we miss that there's more to the moment than me, but not David. He found something in the valley. In the valley, I find the victory that God is preparing for me goes farther and deeper than the battle in front of me, because this valley, in the end, isn't going to be about me. You see, there's a reason for the other four stones. David selected them. He put the one he needed for Goliath in his sling, but he put the other four in his pouch. What's he saving them for? If you keep reading, 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16 through 22 gives us an account, and we see something. It explains in this passage that Goliath had four brothers, all of whom fought for the Philistines. And these four brothers of Goliath were also giants who ultimately died in combat with David. Summarizing the story of Goliath's brothers, the prophet Samuel recorded for us in 2 Samuel 21, verse 22. It says, "These four were born to the giant in Gath, but they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." They fell by the hand of David. Those four smooth stones I wonder if they factored in. I wonder if they found their mark for each giant, just as the first did for Goliath. I wonder, when I look at this, how long David carried those four stones with him, knowing it was his destiny, not just to get a win for himself in the valley, for his own promotion, but a generational win and legacy for the provision of those beyond him. Isn't that amazing? I wonder if these four giants had nightmares, wondering and worrying, terrified at the sight of a smooth stone and their imminent defeat. Imagine it. Just imagine an armorless, swordless, shieldless young shepherd with a smooth stone becomes the enemy's nightmare. I want to tell you something today. Come on, listen to me. You've got the enemy worried. You have the enemy worried. You might say, how? I don't have what is required. I don't have the training. I don't have the job I need or the gifts that would be necessary. I don't have the name recognition or the money or the mate or the health or the confidence or the clout. The enemy is worried because he sees the smooth, small stones of character and purified motivations and the strength and faith and the obedience to God. He sees all that resolve to keep saying yes to God in the valley, even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it's inconvenient and when it looks impossible. The enemy sees what you've been picking up. He sees those smooth stones while you've been in the valley, and it's got him scared. A selflessness, an others-mindedness that we get in the valley. David was believing for more than just a partial win, a good enough moment, good enough for the day. Every stone was significant. And every stone had a purpose. Every stone had a name. I don't want just a moment of victory. I want a legacy of victory that goes beyond me. Come on, isn't that what we want? We won't settle for a win in the moment that will get us through the valley. I'd like to get through the valley. I know you want to get through the valley, and we will, but God wants a win that is ultimate, that will reverberate throughout history, not just reverberate throughout your valley. We need to see beyond the battle we're fighting right now. Pandemics and economics and protests and politics. And what about your faith? What about your soul? What about the eternality of your neighbors? God has something more for you, and it's for people beyond you. And it takes a faith perspective. Five smooth stones from the brook in the valley of Elah, selected with care. One for Goliath and one for each of his mangy brothers. David settled it. I need you to settle it. We need to settle it now, that we're not going to simply settle for now. We're not just going to settle for this win. David could have settled for the giant in front of him, and that would have been good enough by my standards. How about yours, right? It'd be good enough. If we look at this victory, say, good enough, David, but good enough for you is not always God, all that God has for you. Good enough is not all that God has for you. The entire notion of good enough. Matter of fact, the phrase good enough bothers me. Just that phrase, when it's used like, well, that's good enough. That grates on me as a person. If you know me, you know that that's one of the things I go, it's good enough, because that means it's adequate considering the source or situation. It's adequate considering the source or situation, but there are some areas in life where good enough should not be an acceptable standard, right? Spelling and tattoos, right? Good enough should not be the standard. I have a friend, you know, many of you know my friend, who had a District of Columbia tattoo put on his arm, and they spelled the word Columbia like the country, Columbia, not Columbia with a U. Spelling in any permanent artistic medium, good enough is not an acceptable standard, right? It needs to be all the way good enough. And when your wife asks you, how do they look? Good enough, I guess. That's not a good response. That's the response if you want to spend the rest of the evening doing damage control. Good enough is not an acceptable response. Or when you're waiting for the right him or her for your life, that takes patience. Settle it right now that you won't settle for now. Because good enough might not be God enough in the moment that you're living right now. And David had this, and it breaks the spirit of settling. We settle too often, and we settle too soon. But God says, what if I were to tell you good enough for you isn't good enough for me? What if God's plan for you is better than your plan for you? See, we want a win in the moment that will get us through the valley, and God wants a win that is ultimate, that will reverberate through history. What a difference. See, in my mind, taking out one giant, that's good enough. Good job, David. Don't concern yourself with his brothers. Come on, David, you're small and Goliath is big. And David, you're just a youth. And the passage tells us that Goliath had been at war since his youth. And David, you have no intimidation factor whatsoever, but it says Goliath is the epitome of fear and death incarnate. And David has no entourage or support system. And here's Goliath has a shield bearer and 300,000 believing, supporting countrymen. David has no weaponry but a sling, and Goliath has a spear and a sword and armor. Isn't this good enough for God? Aren't these odds good enough? Isn't this desperate enough for God? Isn't this the kind of odds that intimidate all the other small g gods, but attracts the attention of our God? This is impossible odds. And God says, well, one giant would be good, but let's get a win over all five giants. And David was down with that. David was locked in. David was dialed into to faith to fight the battles that were beyond his personal valleys and battles that he might not even personally benefit from. See, when you believe, don't just believe for a momentary reprieve for you. Your valley has more riding on it than just that. If God can take care of one giant, can't he take care of all of them? Come on, if God can take care of that big thing in your life right now, he can take care of all of it. The valley is a place of eternal opportunity. It looks like temporal adversity, but it's a place of eternal opportunity. And the names that we know from history, they're all made in the valley. David had Goliath. Moses had Pharaoh. Lazarus had 3 days in a tomb. Rocky had Clubber Lang. I'm going way back now. Some of you might not know that one. Washington Nationals had the no-good cheating Houston Astros, right? Michael Dell had IBM. Tibet had China. Poland had the USSR. Martin Luther King Jr. had a cold, dark Birmingham jail cell. Some could argue, why not settle for good enough, Dr. King? Come on, Dr. King, you're 25 years old and you're already the pastor of your own church, the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery. Wouldn't you? You could just settle because that's good enough. Come on, Dr. King, you led a movement against segregation in Birmingham and you received national attention. Why don't you settle? That's good enough. Come on, Dr. King, you've got this issue, some national attention finally. Why don't you just settle in the national spotlight? Now you can write some books, you can retire gracefully and wealthy and knowing that you got yourself out of your valley. What if Dr. King, what if the heroes of the civil rights movement of the early 60s, what if people like Senator John Lewis, who just passed away this week, what if they settled for a temporary reprieve instead of pushing and pressing in for a lasting legacy? What if we do the same? I'm talking about change. I'm talking about a voice in this world, but I'm talking about so much more. Somebody, somewhere, at some time, has to believe for something beyond themselves. Come on, somebody has got to believe for something beyond their own need and their own giant and their own valley. It's not good enough for me, and it's not good enough for you, because it's not God for me, and it's not God for you unless it's a blessing for people beyond me and beyond you. Come on, we end today where we began. We can find the victory of faith in the midst of the valley. And we can do it because Jesus has us covered. Jesus has got you covered. That's where we began today. Goliath's name, it literally means to strip down, to disgrace, to reveal, shamelessly to tell, and to uncover. That's what his name means, to uncover. And we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And here we have David and his five stones in his hand. Five is the number of grace. David means beloved, to be loved and to be covered. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to uncover you. But Jesus says, I've chosen you. You are loved. You are covered. Jesus covers me. Jesus has a victory that he's planned for me, even in the midst of the valley. Someone's got me covered. And unlike my sons, there's no expectation for repayment. You know, my son went ahead and gave me that. He covered me. Dad, I got you covered. But then there was a debt that was owed. And within a few moments, I had pulled out my phone and I had transferred that money back into his account. But what Jesus does for you and what Jesus does for me, we cannot pay this debt. I cannot work this off. I cannot cover this on my own. I simply believe it and receive it. That's why Romans 4:4 says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Do you get what that means? That means if you consider to work your way into God's approval, the wages are not counted as grace anymore. It's a debt that you owe, and it's a debt that you can never pay. But verse 5 says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." There's a victory in faith in the midst of the valley. And it goes on to say, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Aren't you glad today that Jesus has got you covered? Aren't you glad today that your sins are covered? God covers you and God is with you. I want to go ahead right now and pray for two kinds of people. First, today, I want to pray for you if you're believing God for greater victory in the valley that you're in right now. Because the Bible says every stone that David picked up, those five stones, I believe every stone has significance and had a purpose. And you know what the Bible says in the New Testament? It calls you and it calls me living stones. My life is significant. Your life is significant. Hear me, your life is significant. And if you're here and you're listening today and you're saying, I need to have faith for more. There's more ahead of you. Come on, there's more giants in this valley, but there's more victory in this valley. And there's more jobs and better jobs and more businesses and more marriages to be healed and more people to reach. Come on, it's not just about you and me in this valley. It goes beyond us to benefit those around us. So it's not good enough for me because it's not God for me unless it's a blessing for people beyond me. And you're here today and you say, that's what I need. I need to get my eyes off myself in this valley. So Father, we pray for all those who are in a place where they're believing you for greater victory in the midst of the valley. Father, we're not going to just settle for our giants. God, we're believing you for something generational that goes beyond us. God, we ask you for courage. We ask you for boldness. We ask you for provision. We ask you for clear minds and the wisdom it takes to navigate in the midst of these days and these times that we live. Father, we thank you that your word says the Holy Spirit, that we need not give any thought to how we will respond, because in that moment, the Holy Spirit himself will give us the words to speak. God, thank you. You're going to give us wisdom and the words to speak in Jesus' name. And I also want to pray for one more group of people. The second group of people I want to pray for today is those who know that you need to make a decision today to receive the free gift and the grace that God has for you. When we just read that powerful verse that you, it's a debt if you're working for it, but it's grace if you just receive it. The revelation today is of the devil's job description. The devil's job description is to steal, to kill, and to destroy, to uncover you. But Jesus has you covered. Blessed are those whose deeds are forgiven. Come on, we just read it. Blessed are those whose mistakes are forgiven. The blessing of God comes with you. If that's for you, I want you right now to boldly pray this prayer with me. And as a matter of fact, before we pray this prayer, I'm gonna count to three, and I'm gonna ask you to do something right where you're watching today. And when I hit three, I'm gonna invite you to lift your hand. By lifting your hand, you're saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. Now, you might not have everything figured out yet. Join the rest of us. We're all on a journey together. There might be many more unanswered questions that you have, but you're gonna bring those questions to a God who loves you, a God who covers you, a God whose blessing overshadows you. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Are you ready to raise your hand? Two, he loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. Here we go. One, two, three, hand in the air. Just lift your hand right where you are. Nobody sees me. I'm by myself. Jesus sees you. God sees you. All the heavenly host bear witness to this moment where you're saying yes to God and you pray this prayer with us nice and loud all together. Dear Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life to you, and I ask you to come in as my Savior and my Lord. Take control of my life. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Now say this boldly. I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We love you. God is with you. God's love and forgiveness covers you.
We stand before your presence today, Jesus. We enter the courts of thanksgiving, Jesus. We worship you, Father. love surrounds us, Jesus, in the darkest places, in the most uncertain times. Father, you are there, and you are here today. You are here, Jesus. We find our strength in you, Jesus. We shall not want, we shall not want, Father. You never leave us wanting. You never leave us, you'll never forsake us, Father. Come on, we lift our voice right where you are. Come on, we sing the promises of Jesus. We declare His way. We declare for your family. We declare for your circumstance. Come on, we sing it out with all our heart. Come on, Citizen Heights, sing this with me now. Will follow me.
If you made a decision today, we know that there is a cloud of witnesses cheering you on right now in heaven. And we know that love and mercy are going to follow you every single day of your life because you said yes. So here are a couple of things that you can do next. The first is tell us. Click that connection card. We want to know more about you, hear your story, and see what God is doing in your life.
That's right. And number two is so simple. Friends, we can get growing in God's word. You know, the Gospels tell us that man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from God's mouth. God's word, the Bible, it sustains us, it strengthens us, and it launches us. And so I just want to encourage you, jump onto our Citizen Heights app, start reading the word, and get growing in all that God has for you.
So good. And the last thing is you can get involved here at Citizen Heights. You're now part of God's family. We want you to get connected. So engage in the chat and send us your story on our website. Check out our Instagram. There's a really cool link on our link tree where you can share your story right there.
That's right.
Well, church, we love you so much. We want to remind you that there are hosts and pastors waiting to connect with you, waiting to pray for you and with you. Please be sure to use those features, get on there and request prayer. And I know that God is going to be, we know that God is going to be working in your life even as you pray.
That's right. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Love y'all.